Tom.
Baskin and Phelps. Jeff is off today. Dan Menigan is in today. 216-474-0092. Coming up here in a moment, there was a trade proposal or a thought about a trade proposal for Myles Garrett. We're going to get to that maybe next segment, maybe the end of the segment, because you are probably going to go, what? And then you're going to scratch your head, and then you're going to go, So we're going to bring that up here in a second. I do want to kind of play off of what Brian Anderson was talking about, and remind me never to tell him 30 seconds, because 30 seconds, I got to remember, on Brian Anderson time is like 5.5 minutes.
I got to remember the script.
I love talking to him, though. He's like, I love having him on. He's got such great perspective, and his perspective comes from the same place where all of ours does, too, obviously, because he's a native Clevelander. So I went through some of those rule changes, because now's the time, right? World Series is over. We all want to sit here in the beginning and say, oh, I can't believe Major League Baseball changed that rule. They changed that rule. What were they doing? This is my game. And blah, blah, blah. And then, like, 3 weeks into it, we're all like, oh, all right, I get it.
Yeah, a lot of people got real grumpy about it. It just seems normal.
I can't remember the last time somebody said anything to me about the pitch clock. Not once. No one says
pitch clock's
anything.
Awesome.
Oh, Hody did? You want to take credit for yourself? What?
Oh, God.
I can't stand the pitch clock or the runner on second.
And like we said, runner on second during the regular season. And Brian made a good point. He's like, during the regular season, that's fine, but never in the playoffs. So I want to give you the opportunity to talk about some of these rule changes.
Sure. Let's go. Pitch clock is outstanding. I loved it when I saw it in the minors. It's been the same way in the playoffs here. It's even hit the point now where it took me half a second when Luke Weaver threw over for the third time in the World Series. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, he's got to go. Like, you know, it was like one of those in that moment. It finally hit me again that was one of the rules that were there. It's wonderful. These games are moving. They're consistent. I love the pitch clock. I absolutely love it.
I don't even notice the pitch clock except for when it gets to 2-1-0 and then they're still hanging on to the ball. And then an ump doesn't make the call.
And there's so few pitch vibes. Well, it's kind of depending on, like, if it's a starter on a mound, it kind of feels like the old, I shouldn't even say old. It feels like the play clock in the NFL, where it's like you get 3-2-1
breath.
0. Okay, now it's a delay game.
Yeah, I mean, like, you need the but when you look at the clock, you got to remember there's fractions of a second before you truly hit zero. So that's why sometimes you see the number zero, but it's not really zero.
Sure, or if you're Aaron Rodgers and you get 0.
All right, fair enough. I agree with that. Do you want me to go through them? These are the same way I did with Brian? Because there were a couple things we didn't get to.
But yeah, so, I love the pitch clock.
So the two things and the one thing I didn't get a chance to ask Brian about was throwing over to first base or disengagement.
Mm-hmm.
I love that rule.
Me too.
I think that rule is a great rule. And again, anything that makes you think about the game a little bit more or put strategy into the game, let's be honest, you know, when a manager has to make that decision to bring somebody in from the bullpen, knowing they have to face three batters, and the first batter hits a grand slam, and the next guy comes up and hits another home run, you know you want him out of the game, but you're going to have to live with the third batter now, and you're like, is he going to give up three in a row?
Well, and as much as we're all complaining about how starting pitchers aren't the way that they used to, we've also gotten rid of one of the things of baseball that always drove me nuts, which was always like the loogie, you know, the left-handed one-out guy. And so that was the thing that would always drive me nuts, is it's like, okay, so now you're gonna start it with Eric Plunk, and then here comes Paul Aussemacher, and then here comes Jim Poole. And like, you would do this all back and forth like this, and you're like, okay, good. That inning now took an hour because we had to keep switching pitchers back and forth to go with the right-handed, left-handed, and all that stuff. It was like, let's end this. This is ridiculous.
I also think that it makes pitchers like Skubal like that more intriguing to want to watch them, because you know you're like, oh man, that manager's going to leave his starter out for 5, maybe 6, right, 7 innings.
Well, it did it with Cole.
Yeah.
You know, Cole went 112 or something like that for 6 innings. It was something along those lines. Like, they did it with Yamamoto. Yamamoto tossed his tail off in that game too.
But didn't it make it sweeter when the Guardians came back and beat Skubal?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I look at some of that stuff and I'm like, yeah, and again, these are the intricacies of the game that I think that, you know, when you get into the chess match and the, you know why they won that inning? Because because the leadoff hitter fouled off 15 pitches and he really wore down the starting pitcher. And then all of a sudden he had nothing left for the rest of the inning. Like, I love that cat and mouse game. And that's, I think, what makes baseball great. And I think that they've highlighted a lot of the things that made the game great. And they've actually made the manager manage a lot more. You know, you add the DH and you take away some of the managing nuances. But by the same token, when you turn and say, okay, here we go, you got to face three batters, now you put that right back in.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The bigger bases, love them. Here's the biggest thing that has stood out to me. So in 2019, before the rule changes, there were 2,280 stolen bases. 2024, 3,617 stolen bases. We have gained 1,000 stolen bases in 5 years. Sold. More. Let's go. And it's been ticking up every single year in between there. I think we will see more stolen bases on top of it.
You think they'll make the bases even bigger?
No.
Are they good where they are?
I think they're the right size. I mean, again, we've jumped 1,000 in 5 years since these new rule changes have come in there. Let's go. More stolen bases makes the game more fun.
Someone's going to make the argument to make them bigger, though, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we live in America. Everything needs to be bigger and better.
I'm just waiting for the safety bag at first. It's coming.
I wonder. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's one thing that's definitely.
But with the bigger bags, it's gotten better. We haven't had as many people stepping on ankles. So that's worth it in itself. The no shift stuff, that's the one that I was 50-50 on. I remain 50-50 on it. Again, 5 years ago, 2019, you had a .252 batting average with a .323 on base and a .435 slug. 2024, .243, .312, .399. Getting rid of the shift does not help batting average. It does not put more balls in play.
There was a Miles Garrett trade scenario, not saying any of it's reality, but it's worth your listening. It's worth listening to. You're going to hear it when you come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.